Dan Burns will help you keep it running. Dan is an ASC certified technician at Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul with us for a whole bunch of years here on CCO. Good morning, Dan.
Good morning.
Fair is over. We're back in studio.
Home again.
Home again. Yes, indeed. And it's September, too, as a matter of fact. And I was thinking of that music. When is the last time cars had real chrome?
Yeah.
That was a long time ago.
It's been a long time.
Yeah. A lot of plastic now.
Real metal hard bumpers.
Yeah, all of that. And a dash that was metal. Yeah.
That's when bumpers were meant for bumping. You can't bump them anymore.
No,
you knock them right off.
That's right. Well, Dan has been with us, as I said, many years here, helping you out if you have to take your vehicle in for some service at your favorite dealer, your favorite shop. Give us a call or send a text. Maybe we'll be able to analyze that for you. Dan will. And at least you'll be armed with more information that you may not have had before you took the vehicle in. 651-989-9226. There's a line open if you want to use it. And Dan, texters will have been texting in this morning even before you got here.
Oh, good.
For the show. That number is 81807. Keep in mind, Dan's going to be here for about another 30 minutes. So don't wait. If you have a question, now is your chance to ask it either by phone or by text. Had to laugh. We had a problem with the computer screen here. And this ASC certified technician came over and helped us get it started again. You're just an amazing guy. But you always did like electronic stuff.
Well, I was going to say computer screens are not my strong suit.
No.
I do have a little trouble with that.
But you know how to unplug and reboot.
Well, you know, I say I don't know anything about it, but on the other hand, I've never tinkered with anything computer related that I've not been able to get working again. So
right.
I guess I have more skill than I give myself credit for.
Well, you and I were talking how the sunlight is diminishing as we head.
Sadly.
Yeah, sadly. So this is a good time to check lights, headlights, taillights, brake lights, all that.
Well, you know, many of us who, you know, work regular hours have not had our headlights on for a long, long time, or our taillights and our wipers, for example.
Well, that's
and
a good point.
Those sorts of things, as the morning dew starts to settle on your windows, you should pay attention to your wipers and, you know, turn on all your lights and take a walk around the car, including the light bulbs over your license plate. Check all the little bulbs.
Never thought about that.
Everything is working. 'Cause I don't want to even mention it, but won't be long before you need the scraper on your...
No, that's true. And don't use your wiper blades.
So find
to do
it.
That, right?
Yeah, go ahead and use them, but you'll wear them out right away.
Real fast.
Just rub your hand across the window when there's that hard frost on it.
It's very rough, see how like sharp sandpaper almost.
Yeah.
Another thing, speaking of lighting, a lot of folks don't know that it's the law, at least in Minnesota, to use your headlights when it's raining, snowing, dark.
Right.
A lot of people don't.
Yeah.
And they're hard to see sometimes.
An awful lot of them come on automatically now. Cars have kind of taken care of that for us.
Yes.
They automatically come on.
But if it's daylight and snowing, they won't necessarily come on.
You need headlights on.
You need to think
sure.
about that. Yeah. That's a whole other story.
Yeah.
All right. So check those lights. Yeah, I never thought about the license plate lights.
Yeah.
All right. John in Eden Prairie is first up on the phone, then we'll pick up on some text messages. John, Dan's listening. What's your question?
Hi, good morning.
Morning.
I have a female acquaintance. She's retired, lives about an hour north of me here. She has a 2016 RAV4 that she parks in a townhouse-type garage. You know, it's attached to her townhouse.
Mm-hmm.
It's only got 12,000 miles on it, and she drives it very rarely. And she tried to start it last night, and the battery is dead, or it wouldn't start. And she does have a habit of leaving the keys in the ignition while it's in the garage. You know, she'll just turn off the car and then leave the keys in the ignition. We did put her neighbor put a trickle charger on it overnight, so hopefully maybe it's solved the problem. But any thoughts?
Well, I would start with the fact that she drives it very rarely. And, you know, with real short drives like that, if that's all she ever does, over time, the battery will lose its charge if it sits long enough, because there's some things on the vehicle in the background that are running that take a very small amount of power, but they do take a little power. And then if on top of that you never drive the vehicle to long enough for the alternator to bring the battery back to full charge, you know, over time with lots of short trips, the battery actually will go dead just because it doesn't have an opportunity to recharge.
Makes so sense.
I think you're doing the right thing. Put the trickle charger on it, and I'm sure that it will start because it's you know, there should be nothing else wrong with it. But then it might be a good idea to take the vehicle in. And at Lloyd's, we do a thing called an electrical system check when people are having trouble starting their car. It checks it load tests the battery and makes sure that the battery is good. We test the alternator to be sure that it's charging both volts and amps properly and is capable of putting out enough power. We check the starter draw to be sure that the starter's working exactly the way that it should. And then the last thing that we check is the parasitic draw. And what that is when you shut the car off and when you shut everything down and you wait a little while, all of the computers and all of the accessories on the car should power down. And if one of those accessories is not powering down like it's supposed to, we'll know that. And then, of course, we have to find out what it is. But I think in your case, you're probably going to find that really nothing is wrong except for the fact that it needs to be driven.
Short
more.
Trips.
Short trips.
All right, John. Thanks very much. You and I were talking about burglaries, home burglaries these days. And so many, at least according to what I've read, people actually get in your house, find your car keys, and steal the car.
Yeah.
I've heard that. Well, this, John's friend, leave the keys in the ignition.
Yeah.
That makes it real easy.
Yeah, don't do that.
Don't do that.
Don't do that.
Heidi in Minneapolis is on the line. Heidi, you're on with Dan here on CCO.
Good morning.
Morning.
I have a 98 Saturn, and a couple weeks ago I started the car, and I had to move it, and all I did was move it a couple feet, maybe 10 feet, and then I turned it off quickly, and it made kind of a weird noise, and then when I went to start it again, it doesn't start. So I don't know, did I do something by... just having it running so short a time?
No. I mean, there's nothing you did that should have caused whatever's going on. And I don't know if the battery was just that low and you got the last jump out of it. So I guess the first thing I would do is try jump starting it or have somebody help you try jump starting it and see if you can get it started again. If that's what it is, then you probably just want to have your battery tested. But beyond that, no, there's nothing wrong with starting a car and just moving it a few feet. That should not have created any sort of trouble for you. Not that that's really good for a car. That's true. But it should not cause it to fail.
In this case, yeah.
Right.
Thanks, Heidi. Good luck with that. We have to take a quick break. We have more show to come. If you have a car care question, call it in or text it in. Dan, as I said, will be here till about 7:45 or so. So don't wait. 651-989-9226 or send us a text and we'll grab some of those when we come back to that. Text number is 81807. And good morning. Welcome back to CCO's Car Care Show. Denny Long here with Dan Burns from Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul, located on Grand Avenue. Exactly where would you say?
We are at 982 Grand Avenue, right between Lexington and Victoria. You, of course, can find us on the web at lloydsautomotive.net, L-L-O-I-D-S, lloydsautomotive.net. Or give us a call this morning. Nick and I will both be there this morning at 651-228-1316.
Very good. We'll get you that number before Dan leaves us today. And by the way, Dan will be here for about till about 7:45 or so. So if you have a car care question, bring it on now. Don't wait. Larry in St. Paul is on the horn for Dan. Go ahead, Larry.
Yes, I got a 2009 GMC Acadia, and the headlight is out. Do I have to remove the front tire to get at that thing?
That's one way of doing it. Although, I think it depends on the model. There's two different ways that they can be done. Sometimes if you look inside the fender well, you'll see a little cover that's in there that gives you access to it. And that's one way of getting at it. Or if that's not there, sometimes if you take the fender well not out of the vehicle, but take enough of the screws out of the fender well where you can bend it back, you can reach up in there and take care of it. But on a few models, and I don't think Acadia is one of them, on a few models, actually the front bumper has to come off.
Wow.
To be able to get the headlight out or the headlight assembly out. So, but usually, if there's not an access panel, and there might be, then you just, take the tire off, pull that panel back a little bit, and you'll see that while it looks like a huge job, it's really not that big a deal.
Oh, it isn't?
It's just a few screws.
Okay.
And that fender liner's plastic. You can just bend it out of the way.
Good luck with that, Larry. Thanks for the call. Line is open at 651-989-9226. Or if it's easier, send Dan a text, 81807. Here's one that came in earlier this morning. 2003 Jeep Grand Cherokee, 102,000 miles. Airbag and seatbelt lights on dash, always on. Took it to the dealer on airbag recalls, but after a year, the lights are always on. Should I have concerns?
Well, just know that when the lights are on, your airbags are not working.
Hmm.
And so for that purpose, yes, you probably should have concerns. The vehicle's much safer if the airbags are functional. So I would take it back or take it somewhere else and have some troubleshooting done on that. I think that you'll find that there's a bad sensor, perhaps the one of the crash sensors out in front of the vehicle, which are exposed to all the elements. Maybe one of them has failed, or the connector has failed, or otherwise, quite commonly, we see in the seatbelt receiver, there's a sensor also to know if the seatbelts are fastened properly. For the airbags to work, and if one of those sensors has failed, it'll turn on the airbag light and disable the system, which it needs to do. If the sensors are not all working properly, then the safest thing is for the airbags to just not deploy.
Okay. Text number 81807. Phone is 651-989-9226. John is calling from Savage with a question. Go ahead, John. Thank you.
Good morning. Dan, I was bleeding the brakes on my 2009 Ford Escape, and it didn't keep enough fluid in the master cylinder, so I got some air in the system. Do I have to actually bleed the master cylinder, or can I just keep putting fluid in until the air is out of the system?
Yeah. It'll take a while. Once you let it go empty like that, of course, you've introduced air into the whole system, and so it takes quite a bit of bleeding for all of that air to get out. One thing that you could do if you are patient enough is just fill it up with fluid bleeders and just let it gravity bleed for a while. It'll drip slowly out of all four bleeders, and that's kind of a good way to get started, to get a bunch of the air out, and then go back to having someone help you, with pumping the brakes and opening each bleeder one at a time. Of course, being careful to be sure that you keep the reservoir full. But
I don't have to take the master cylinder out to get the air out of it.
You do not. No, it, well, rarely. In this business, I've never said...
Never.
Never say never. But no, it should be fine. If you just fill it back up and bleed it the way you were and do it properly, it should be fine.
All right, John. Good luck with that. We have to take a break, Dan. We'll be back with more calls, more text messages on CCO Radio's Car Care Show. Fair skies, 58 degrees. A look at weather is coming up. And welcome back to CCO's Car Care Show this Saturday morning. Denny Long here with Dan Burns from Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul. He is an ASC-certified technician, helped us out many years here, and he's doing the same thing today. Call him your question in if you want. There's still a few minutes left. Or send a text if that's easier. That number is 81807. Here is a text. Dan's daughter says here has the nicest car in the family, a 2011 Altima. Passenger front door lock mechanism acts up sometimes, won't unlock properly. Any ideas?
Well, that's there's actuators in the door. Each door has a little motor that works the door locks, and one of those is, or something about that is probably not right, or the linkage itself has gotten stiff and binding, although on an 11, that would be a little soon for that to happen. So I think probably that actuator has failed, and unfortunately, to gain access to repair that, you have to take the door panel all apart, and to get at it. And it sometimes can be a relatively expensive component to replace. But at any rate, that's I'm sure that's what's going on.
And you've had to replace, we've had questions about it before, seat heaters.
We do have to replace seat heaters from time to time.
Okay. And is that a tough job?
Well, yes. It's an upholstery job. If anybody's ever done upholstery and for themselves, that's what it involves is you have to take the seat cover off and replace the heat grid that's in there. And then, of course, put it all back together, making sure that all the corners are square and that it looks nice, like when you started.
Oh.
So it can be a job.
I bet it can.
And it's a job you need to do with clean hands.
Yeah, for sure.
Right.
All right. So that as far as that won't unlock properly, it's something that they should bring in.
Yeah, they're going to need some help with that.
Yeah, okay.
You know, those door panels, while if you know what you're doing, are not hard to get off. They're oftentimes they just clip on.
Hmm.
But all of the little screws that hold them on are obscure and hidden. And so, you know, we have manuals that show us where all that stuff is, but sometimes to find them on your own is a little challenging.
Texter says, Dan, what do you think about turbo engines? Avoid them for less maintenance? And how about, and I'm not sure about this, GDI engines? Valve issues from buildup. I don't know what a GDI engine is.
Well, it's one of the new high compression engines. And no. You don't need to avoid any of that. You just need to do proper maintenance on your car. If you've ever driven a car with a turbo, and you have, they're awesome. I mean, the power they can get out of a small engine.
How does that work? I mean, just simply put, what does a turbo do?
It takes your exhaust to turn a motor, I'll call it.
Okay.
You know, the turbo is actually a fan. It's actually a fan.
Okay.
And then the turbo creates pressure. It pressurizes your intake manifold, which, of course, adds power just in itself. But then it also pressurizes the air-fuel mixture that goes into the engine, and by doing that, it gives it all sorts of power.
Like you said, a lot of the newer cars have turbo fours.
Small little engines with turbos that just go like crazy. So, no, don't avoid it. In fact, you should go get one because they're really fun to drive.
Okay. Larry is calling from Maple Grove, I believe, with a question. Go ahead, Larry. Thanks.
Thanks for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
I've had this happen a couple times where I've stopped and say a parking lot, and I turn the engine off, but I leave the ignition on so I could listen to the radio. And maybe after 20 minutes, I turned it off, and when I try to start the car again, the battery is dead. And should 20 minutes with the ignition on kill the battery?
No, you probably need a new battery. That the battery should hold up longer than that. But that being said, I will warn you that when you have, on these new modern cars, when you have the accessory switch on to run the radio and all that, oftentimes the headlights are on, the blower motor is running, there's an awful lot of power that's being drawn out of the battery. So they will go dead quickly, but you should do better than 20 minutes. So take the vehicle in and have the battery tested. I think you'll find that the battery is probably marginal or weak, and in either case, replace the battery, and that'll make a big difference for you.
All right, Larry, there you go. I think we have time for another call. George is calling from Shoreview. George, you're on CCO with Dan.
Yeah, I have a 2012 Chevy Cruze. It had automatic transmission, and the last time it shifts, it kind of hesitates and then jerks forward. There's no dipstick or anything, so I can check the transmission fluid. Just wondering if this is expensive and what should I do?
Yeah, well, I think you're on the right track. I think you'll have to take it in to have the transmission fluid checked, but that's where I would start. Is first of all, in order to check it, they have to raise it up on the hoist, and they'll be able to see if there's been any sort of leaking going on. If the fluid has gotten low, it'll cause harsh shifts like that, certainly. And if so, have them check the fluid and be sure that it's full. If it is, then maybe they'll have to get into some more diagnostics on the transmission. If the fluid is full. If the fluid is low, then, of course, they're going to have to do some sort of repair for the leak, fill it back up, and see if that takes care of the shifting problem.
Okay.
But you're on the right track. But check the fluid, but you'll need some professional help to do that.
We're just about out of time, Dan. I want to grab, maybe we can do a lightning round here with the text messages. What do you say?
Sure.
Some quick answers. Why can semi-trucks frequently get 1 million miles and we're lucky to get 300,000 on my car? Texter says.
Well, highway driving.
Yeah.
If you drove the way the semi-trucks do, you would get that. I mean, a car is certainly capable of going that far.
Sure it is.
But we don't drive cars that way, so they rust out and rot out, and a whole bunch of other things happen before it, that causes them to fail.
If storing a car over the winter, is it best if the gas tank is full or near empty?
I think full.
I would agree.
Keep it full. And if it's going, and not a bad idea to add a some sort of fuel stabilizer to it to protect the gas.
The texter wants to know about seat belts used a lot. They are extremely slow to retract. Is there any way to make them work like new again?
Yes, replace them.
You can. Okay,
and
we do
replace them quite often for that reason. Eventually, they'll get to where they don't retract at all, and when that happens, then you'll need to replace them.
2007 Ford Expedition, 230,000 miles. Brakes soft. Pump once, come up, never change brake fluids. Fluid is full. What do you think?
Well, there's a whole bunch of things that can cause a soft brake pedal. For example, if one of the wheel bearings is going bad and flexing too much, every time you step on the brake, it has to straighten the wheel before it starts to apply the brakes. And of course, that takes a lot more travel in the brake pedal. So those sorts of things, if a caliper is stuck or hung up, that will cause a poor brake pedal. But a poor brake pedal is a warning that something else is going on. So I would recommend that you take it in and have the whole brake system inspected, noting that you're having trouble with a soft pedal, and they'll get to the bottom of it and figure that out for you.
All right, very good. Let's see. Do we have time for one more? Yes, I think we do. 2008 Dodge Charger. Neither of my key fobs work. I replaced the battery in both. I can start my car, but none of the other functions work. Can't unlock the door, trunk, panic button. I spoke with Dodge Chrysler. They directed me to the dealership who wants to charge me $132 to diagnose. Do key fobs eventually just wear out, and should I just replace them?
No. Well, you're going to end up somewhere anyway where with your key fob to get them reprogrammed no matter what you do. So I think that is good advice, that you should take it in and have it diagnosed, because it might not be the key fob at all. It might be something else with the car that's causing that trouble. So,
got to run, Dan. How do we get in touch with Lloyd's?
Give us a call, 651-228-1316. You can find us on the web at lloydsautomotive.net, L-L-O-Y-D-S, lloydsautomotive.net, or come on over, 982 grand.
Good deal.
Did I get that right? Come on
over.
You
got it all. Yeah, okay. Yeah, you did. Okay. Perfect. Just perfect. I'll see you next week.
Sounds good.
Thanks.